She didn't need a stent or any other treatment other than changing medication. But that's something I thank the Lord for. So I came along, and I'm getting a little fidgety sometimes on the interstate, especially the Illinois toll road, with everybody's got to be doing 80, and I'm trying to be slow at 72 or 3 anyway. So my wife was only able to come once. As we've gotten older and traveled, I like her to drive. And so the first time we came down, she drove down, allows me to sit and look at my sermon notes and sip some coffee and whatever. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, I've been going through 1 Peter, and I've been kind of picking and choosing some thoughts that I would like you to see and lock into some of these thoughts, because I believe they'll help you understand 1 Peter. Now, if 1 Peter, the dates that are suggested for 1 Peter writing are 59 to 63, 64. Well, let's say they're in that range. That means in 8 to 10 years, the temple in Jerusalem is going to be invaded by the Roman army, and the temple is going to be destroyed, and the Jews are going to start being dispersed. Now think about it. Just 8 to 10 years. Now, many of the people Peter wrote to might have been saved 25 years or so. But there's always new believers. There's always believers in different stages of growth. And imagine what the new believer might think. When you're hearing the gospel for the first time, I think of myself, and you start thinking about it, wrestling with it, that seems to be the only thing you think about. It becomes an obsession. I've got to get this clear. I either reject it or accept it, period. I must get it done. And after you become a Christian, and you're saved, and of course the Holy Spirit comes in your life, it's a wonderful thing. I remember working behind a machine at our Chalmers Tractor Division, and my mind was active about all kinds of things. I knew there was a change. I didn't know what to expect. When I started witnessing, much to my surprise, people were hostile toward the gospel. But then I shouldn't have been surprised, because I was hostile too the first time I heard it. First time kids that came back from camp and shared the gospel with me, I was really a wise guy, really a loud mouth. I was making fun of them all the time. And so I began to realize that the world is really hostile to this. And then I started paying more attention and understood more and more what the Bible said about the world rejecting the gospel, about the world failing and not receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. So, those are some things. And new believers expect a lot. Now, if you're in Peter's time, remember, these are early days. The gospel is spreading, but so much is undefined. The Bible hasn't been written yet. Has been accepted yet. So the people are hearing from teachers. They're hearing from people who teach them what the Scriptures say, Peter, Paul, and others. What do these new believers, what do these believers expect? Do they expect that now that they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, not only would their life be better, but that everything in the world would be better? And much to their disappointment, things were going to get worse. 10 or 12 years later, the Roman army would smash down the temple. And then after that, for almost 300 years, there would be continual persecution. different emperors trying different things. Some of them were quite peaceful because they recognized that these believers were not to be worried about. But the majority of them didn't know what to make of Christianity. So they persecuted the Christians. They banished elders to other parts of the empire, and as I mentioned a few weeks ago, all the elders did was go out and preach the gospel. See, they wanted the manuscripts, I mentioned too, and burned the manuscripts, but the Christians weren't so dumb, and they saved what they considered to be inspired, even though they might not have thought that, and here, burn the other things. Rome didn't know the difference. Point I'm making is that things were really rough. There might have been some people who expected that Jesus Christ was going to come soon, set up a kingdom, bring peace into the world, and that wasn't the case. In fact, Christianity would suffer for many, many years. And then, of course, when Constantine came into power, and Constantine recognized Christianity as a true, legitimate religion, persecution kept up, but it was different. And then Christians started fighting with one another. And when you give somebody power, power is corruptible. Power can become corruptible. And so the church created a lot of problems. And studying the Middle Age Christianity is really, really interesting. But Peter's writing to these people, and things are going from bad to worse. And don't forget, Nero is in power. And when we've studied about Rome, even if you don't know much about it, you know that Nero was really wacko. That Nero was a problem. So, the only thing you are secure in is Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the help the other Christian could give you, the need to be together and be strong in Jesus Christ, work together, live together, pray together, help one another. Sometimes persecution seemed to be indiscriminate. Somebody would be persecuted and somebody would not, and it seemed strange. And you were to encourage the other people and help them. So one reason Peter's writing this book, first of all, is to have the Christians, as I said in chapter 1, that their hope, a living hope. And then after that, he's talking about holiness, living a life that honors Jesus Christ. And now in this portion, 1 Peter chapter 2, he's going to talk about the Word of God, the living Word, the living Word that brought life and strength and understanding to us. So, let's go chapter 2. Now, last week, I labored through seeking to show you that there are sins of character. That's in chapter 2, verse 1. And we might think, well, what does this have to do with faith in the world? If we can't forgive fellow believers, if we can't live in harmony, if we must always be malicious and criticize it, first of all, we're not going to find much help from other people. Second of all, how are we going to handle the world? One thing Peter's doing first off, chapter 1 and 2, is to show us what we have in Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 is a beautiful chapter of condensed theology, talking about what Jesus Christ has done. There's a mention of the Trinity. There's a mention of the work of Christ. There's a mention of the Old Testament prophets and the Spirit of God working through people. So, as Peter writes us, he's thinking of many things from the Old Testament. And he does quote some Old Testament verses. So last week, I spoke about sins of character 2:1. But I mentioned to you that in chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, the main focus is the Word of God and believing truth. The Word of God and believing truth. And then this Word, he says in the last verse of chapter 1, verse 24, this verse, Word is the Word of God by which the gospel is preached to you. Now, here's what he's saying. If that Word of God brought you life when you believed, that living Word that's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that living Word will continue to bring you life, understanding. Now, we're all following the news. It's madness. Good grief, it's madness. Okay. I'm right up there with it. And this last week has been awful. And I've been on Facebook. There's things I like on Facebook. Friends. Problem is, too many people I don't even know about, and too many things have invaded my sight. And of course, they're a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. Say, and then after they're a friend of a friend of a friend, my name pops up. So they send them out to all of their friends. Nevertheless, this last week, there was an incredible amount of political commentary from people, opinions. Oh, I'm not trying to say I'm not interested in it and don't care, but I'm tired of it. It's almost as if you had to say something so that your friends knew where you stood. And I'm not going to say anything. First of all, it's none of your business. Second of all, that's not my business. But what's happening, and you'll pardon me for getting into this a little bit because you must think of Peter, is that it's getting to be confusing. We are getting close to the age of anarchy. We're groups. I don't care what group. This side or that side, groups are demanding things that the government would not normally deliver. And it's awful. Police departments have lost their ability to control. You know, my son Stephen, a police officer. He only has a year and a half left to retire. He's old. He can hardly wait to get out. And policemen they want to get out because it's a mess and they have so much pressure. When he stopped to give a ticket, just a simple ticket, sir, you were going 85 in a 25 mile an hour zone thing. Everybody's around with their cameras. Maybe I'll be on YouTube. Maybe I'll be. Everybody dragged out their camera. Car stop. Everybody's looking for, I don't know what they're looking for. Become crazy. We believers have been caught up in that too much. These comments on Facebook from friends, many people I know, many dear, good Christians, to me, they're getting out of hand. I'm uncomfortable with it. And I have my opinion. So, it's getting uncontrollable. I'm thinking this. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ must spend some time learning the Word and paying more attention to the Word of God to understand what God wants of us. I have my opinion. I went to school back in the 40s and 50s. Graduated in 59. And we were taught history then. And it wasn't just one-sided. Looking back, what I learned, I thought it was quite well balanced. We as believers need very, very clearly and carefully to have our minds constantly in tune with God's Word. Now, notice what he says now. after he talked about the sins of character in verse 1, he said, "Now, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Now, you know he's not suggesting they're all new babies. They're all new Christians. The thing he's suggesting is, just like a baby, it's hungry and craves mother's mouth. You, as believers, should constantly be craving the Word of God. Why? Because it ministers to our minds, not just emotions. It ministers to our minds, our understanding. It ministers to our intellect. And it helps us to understand some of the things that are going on and put things in perspective. So, just like newborn babies, you are to desire, some translations say crave, and I mentioned last week very casually that the word desire is the only imperative in this verse, command. Other things are said, but this is something you must do. You must be in the Word of God, and you must let the Word of God bring you understanding. I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your heart to the Lord." All right. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, this is a strong statement. When we align clearly with one side or the other, clearly with it, we've lost our testimony. Simple as that. Now, I'm not saying I'm thinking, but if you're going to join, you made it so that it'd be hard to tell people about Jesus Christ. Anyway, Peter wants us in the Word. Some of these people were new converts. Some might have been disappointed Christians after so many years of being a believer. But we are to crave the Word. We are to understand it and study it. Peter says something else too. "Believers shall all time be like infants. No matter how much I grow, how my book is filled with ministry, whatever, I should always be desiring that milk of the Word." Now it's easy along the way to spend time studying the Scriptures, but not profiting from them. And this is something really, really important. It's pure milk of the Word. Too often, for the answers to life, we look to psychology, we look to philosophical systems, we look to many things the world offers. All it's doing is driving us apart. And it's creating a problem. More so. More than we believe. We might spend too much time on other people's writings. I'm looking these days for a better understanding by not going to a writer of one side or the other. I'm looking for somebody who can actually sit down and analyze to the core, the root, what is going on. That's what I'm looking for, just from my own knowledge. So, the Word of God is important to us. And we should be careful of spending too much time in other people's writings. We should spend some time learning. It's amazing how the Word of God can affect your thinking. Moral thinking. There's a big moral problem in America today. Wow. And you either side with one group or you're totally considered out of the picture. Totally considered irrelevant. think. We have to think. So Peter's writing this, and he wants us in the Word, and it's important to get into the Word. All right, it means growth. We need to grow. Now, this is not necessarily an act of human will, growth. It is the Word of God, our responsibility to diligently appropriate the Word of God that produces growth. And this will be in our heart. Remember in verse 1, he laid out some interesting character problems. Malice, hate, and other things that show up. And growth needs to be in our lives. We need to use the Scriptures in our lives, not to back up something. Not to back up a point here or there. We need to use them in our lives. We need to use the Scriptures to serve more, to help others. And the help we can give is to bring the gospel or help them in their discouragements or their problems. Abraham Lincoln, in his, I mentioned last week too, in his second inaugural address in March 1855, said that not only should there be healing after the war, but the widows and the orphans. I thought that was an interesting statement. The widows and the orphans and the people need to be helped. And Reconstruction wasn't all that great. All right. So, into the Word of God, folks. And this is really important for us to remember. I should be in the Word of God. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that being in the Word of God is going to make you one side or the other. I'm merely suggesting that being in the Word of God is going to give you some thoughts, some hope, some security, and some correct thinking about issues that are not just emotional issues, but the Word of God working in our lives. And so this is quite important. Peter, in the rest of this book and in 2 Peter will talk about the believers having concern for other people's trial. Do we? There's none of that today. None of it. Concern for other people's trial. More compassion when people fail. There's no compassion. Either with us or you're not. Period. All right? And if your business goes down the tube, fine. You deserve it. And we ought to be quicker to sympathize with people. Pray for them. And this is an important point. Not criticize too quickly. Not criticize them too quickly. Allowing people to go through whatever they have to go through and help them. And not be too quick to criticize them about things. So, our craving, 2 Peter Chapter 2, our craving should be for the Word of God, and that Word of God leads to growth. All right? Verse 2, newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow. And that growth is mind, heart, emotion will be there. But growing for us to see what God is doing. Peter is focusing, this is what Jesus Christ is doing. And if you go to the rest of chapter 2, and there's no time here, you'll see Peter talking about a building, living stones. God is doing something. He is building. There's a verse over here, Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. That's where it's going. But meanwhile, He's building a temple of living stones. Right? So, we are to be in the Word. Notice verse 4 now. 1 Peter chapter 2. Coming to Him as to a living stone. Coming to Him. That's all there is. You either come to Him or you don't come to Him. If you come to Him, you know Christ is your Savior and the Word of God says you are saved and you belong to another destiny. And if you don't come, the Word of God clearly says, whether we like it or not, you're outside of Jesus Christ. You come to Him for salvation. And coming to Him is a living stone. Notice He said, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. So, as Peter writes this, he's been going through a number of things. He wants them to have a living hope. He's talking about holiness. Then he talks about love, fervent love, one for another. And that's in chapter 1, verse 22. And he uses two different words for love. The emotional, caring love, and then the agape love that God has. Loving when people have wronged us and sinned against us. So this is what Peter's at. He wants this to take place in our lives. He wants us to allow God to work. We need this because we're falling short of many things. And in the church to see some of the things that are taking place. They're not dividing churches, but they're making people a little nervous with one another. To be called a racist in the middle of something like this, even by a fellow Christian who works with this group of people, and this one works with that group of people. It's hard. It's really hard. So, my friends, I'll end here. Just by mentioning to you that Peter wants us to learn the Word of God. We've been born again by an incorruptible seed. We need to crave it. We need to grow. That growth means spiritual understanding and wisdom. We don't always have to share our opinions with everybody. We don't always have to take that strong view of things. We can let God work in people's lives. So, I'd like to urge you to read Peter. He's building something as living stones. Now he's thinking of a temple. It says in 1 Kings chapter 17 that when they were building the temple, the men who were building it would measure exactly the stone they needed in the place they needed. Then they would send a message down to the quarry. You can read that. And they send a message down to the quarry. And in the quarry, they cut it to exact specifications and sent that stone up, fitly framed together. It would take a long time, especially with tools, like old tools. A stone came once. This is a story the Jews tell. Myth or not, I don't know. But a stone came for a particular place, and it didn't fit. Well, mistakes were made, so they took the stone and just shoved it over the hill. It was down there, you could see it. When they got done, they sent to the quarry for a stone, chief cornerstone. Said, well, you sent it up already. You did. We didn't get it. Well, we sent it up. And, of course, it took a long time to build it. Somebody remembered that stone down below, the stone that was rejected, and they brought it up, and it fit. Now, this is what the Jews talk about in the Psalm. So that story comes from them. Nevertheless, they reject it. And he's putting us into a living stone, a temple, a holy temple. We need to handle the Word. We have a right to our opinions. We have a right to express our opinions. But I want to urge you to be as careful as you can that when you're expressing these, you don't become angry, show animosity, become judgmental, or just write the person off as hopeless. First and foremost is Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, Jesus Christ needs working alive, bringing growth. And growth sometimes is a little startling, isn't it? We think we're doing pretty well, and then some truth that we've read and known about for a while comes into play, and all of a sudden we realize, boy, I lack that. Boy, I've been harsh in my viewpoint. I always want to be right. Oh. And always when you're right doesn't help, it hurts. These are the sort of things God has to deal with. So in these days, regardless where you're at, regardless of what you're thinking, do yourself a favor. Study His Word. Read it. Meditate on it. Not just to have study it so you can win an argument. I've done too many times. No, I'm going to show Ducky what that in Hebrews means, Hebrews 6. I'm going to nail Ducky. And they've trapped me several times at potlucks and other things. They say, hey, John, what do you think of Hebrews chapter 6? And then, of course, I start spewing out my wisdom and my, well, this commentary says that, and that commentary says that, and that commentary says that. Let me see. And Bill, say all this stuff. And all of a sudden, they've got me in a fight, and I thought, how did I get here? What am I doing here? I didn't want this. I just wanted my pumpkin pie and coffee. So, study the Word for yourself. It will bring wisdom and understanding. We need it. The church needs it. Let me tell you something. Our country needs peace real quickly. The leaders, not just the president, many leaders, police department, just don't know what to do. There was a riot in Milwaukee last year, a big one. You probably. The police chief said, cordon that off. Don't let the crowd get past that. Somebody else appeared on the scene, another police officer, but not the chief, and said, don't hurt them. Don't stop them, because you'll be in trouble. And it made it worse. People don't know what to do. Grow, love the Lord, hold your opinion, but be careful so that people will listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're turning off rather quickly. Father, thank you. Thank you for Peter's word in this era of Nero. Later on, he says, submit yourself to every authority of man. That's so ridiculous for us. How can I submit to something I don't agree with? Father, help us to grow, to understand the Word, to read it, to think it through. And we want the light of the gospel to shine these days. Make us lights. Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name.